Bibles, go ahead, and we're going to look in two parts of our Bible again today. Go ahead and find the book of John, John chapter 12, if you would. Find John 12 and put your finger there or put a marker somehow in John 12 if you can do that. And then go ahead and turn, we're going to start out in a little bit in Exodus chapter 3. I'll be reading from Exodus chapter 3 in a moment. Last week I was talking here about elevation and about how God wants to, I believe God's ordained this is a time for the church, the kingdom of God, to advance, not to retreat, not to be bound by fear, by adverse circumstances around us, because how many folks realize that in this world things will get darker and darker before Jesus Christ comes back? The Bible tells us time and again that it's always the darkest right before the dawn. But also the Bible says where sin abounds, God's grace will more abound than the sin. And so if God's grace is always abounding more than sin, that means the grace on us is going to increase. We're going to see ourselves being vessels of honor to do things to expand God's kingdom right until Jesus Christ comes back to take us home. Guess what? God's in a good mood. God's not in a bad mood. Amen? You might think of all the bad things happening around us that God's pretty well in a bad mood most of the time. It's not so. The Bible says God laughs at things upon the earth. God is a God of joy. God's a God of peace. God sees the end from the beginning. God knew us before he even formed us, and so God's got much reason to rejoice because you guys are going to be with him forever and evermore. He rejoices in that every day of existence upon the universe. Amen. Today's message here is what I call a one-time message, not part of a series here. I want to speak to you from my heart today how God uses broken vessels. God uses broken vessels. You're writing some notes out today. That's my message's title, is God uses broken vessels. Last week again was about advancing and about elevation. And I found in my many times of flying that these airline companies take great pains and great care in making sure every airplane is totally balanced before it takes off. They make sure that on the left side of the airplane, right side of the airplane is pretty well balanced as far as the passengers are concerned. They also make sure the luggage is put there in the right way, so when the airplane takes off, they make sure the fuel is equal on both wings, so when the airplane takes off, it has a balanced flight, and it takes off smoothly, levelly, and kind of takes off in a smooth, safe way. And how many folks appreciate they do that before the airplanes do take off? Amen? We don't need lopsided airplanes. Well, also in God's kingdom, God also works by balance. Everything in the universe revolves around counter opposing forces to make all things stay together in the entire universe. Matter of fact, even molecules have got negative and positive charges in them to keep them balanced, keep them centered. So God does things that looks like positive things, but also God does things that looks like sometimes negative things. One of those negative type words to some people might be this word called brokenness. You got to realize that God's not just about giving to us blessings and giving to us salvation, giving to us healing, giving to us finances. Praise God for all the good things God does give to us. Amen. But also, God's got a counterbalance there, a thing called withdrawing. God also makes withdrawals or calls us also to withdraw. One of those things I think about withdrawals is prayer. Prayer, the Bible says many times Jesus withdrew himself from the crowds and began to pray by himself in lonely places. How many folks also realize that prayer is work? Prayer makes you sweat. Prayer takes effort. Prayer takes energy. Prayer even burns calories. Prayer is a withdrawing thing, but it brings forth a lasting result. The Bible also speaks about a thing called fasting. Fasting also means withdrawing food and pleasurable things to drink or eat from your body for a season that you might receive then a greater reward on down the road. God talks about withdrawing sometimes even affections. So I found that in God's kingdom, he sometimes will call us to go through times of withdrawal, and God himself will also withdraw sometimes his very feelings from us. Some folks that serve God or know Jesus Christ in a brand new baby type realm realize that God puts all of us on a honeymoon experience to begin with. We have handfuls of blessings given to us on purpose. We just have God's joy, God's peace. We're kind of giggling in the Holy Ghost, it seems like, all the time. Then all of a sudden, it seems like, where did God's presence go to? I'm not hearing God as clearly. I'm not sensing the feelings. The goosebumps aren't quite as big as they were several days or weeks or months ago. That's because God is showing us, I'm not a God of emotions. I'm not a God of your feelings. I'm a God that works and lives by faith, not by outward appearances. And so the realm of brokenness is actually not a very negative thing. It's really a positive thing. We're going to see it tonight, or this morning, I'm sorry, talk about how God gives a purpose to us for brokenness happening in our lives. Let's read now Exodus chapter 3. We're going to get through this and start reading in verse 1. Exodus 3:1, the story of Moses, how God uses broken vessels. And it says, "Now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not being consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside, and I will see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he took to look, God called to him and from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place.' He says, 'Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.' Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' And Moses, it says, hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Verse 7, "And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows.'" I mentioned last week how I believe we're in a season right now where God is fed up with bullies. God wants the taskmasters. God wants the bullies broken off the people's lives in the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe God this morning, we saw some bullies broken off some bones and some ligaments and some joints and some backs. Amen. God does not like the taskmasters that control our finances sometimes, that vex our marriages sometimes. He wants these bullies off your back in Jesus' name. Verse 8 goes on and says, "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and a large land, to a land that flows with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites," and so forth and so on. And then verse 9 goes on and says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them." That's a powerful prayer verse right there. The cry of God's people goes to his ears, and then when God hears it, God acts, and God begins delivering and setting them free, putting things in motion to do that. Finally, verse 10 says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, up out of Egypt." Praise God. Now let's go to John chapter 12, verse 24, New Testament. It says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." One of the aspects of Christian life is a thing, again, that's called brokenness. Everything that God uses, even in nature, must be broken first before it can become useful in the hands of the Lord our God. Now realize when it comes to a grain of wheat, a corn of wheat, the Bible calls it here, if you take and crush or smash or pulverize that little piece of wheat, that little grain of wheat, that little seed there, that seed remains totally lifeless. It dies and it goes away and produces no fruit whatsoever. So what must take place? Well, in nature, we find out that the seed of wheat must first go in the ground into obscurity, receive the right kind of a moisture, the right kind of a time of isolation, it seems like, and then in due time, just the outward shell of that seed breaks open, and then out comes what was actually in that seed all the time, a brand new stalk of wheat that produces more seed after its kind and multiplies in due time into thousands and thousands and thousands of more stalks of wheat as time goes by. God always shows us pictures here like this in the Bible to give us sometimes strong spiritual truths. And spiritual truth here is, Religion is what does a thing that will actually take the seed and crush it and pulverize it and smash it into no life whatsoever. That's why Jesus Christ had so many harsh words for the Pharisees, because they were putting heavy rules on people. They were always trying to drive them down, say what they were doing bad in life, how God was mad at them. God's angry at you. God's like a great big hammer, and God's hammering you down, driving you down, trying to ridicule you in some way. That is crushing and smashing the corn of wheat, and it brings forth no life whatsoever. Jesus Christ said, I have come to fulfill the law, to set you guys free from rules and regulations of mankind, and to bring to you the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of our life, He does a breaking work that only removes the outer shell that's called our body and our soul. We are triune beings made of spirit and soul and body. And what God wants to do is God wants to preserve your spirit, let your spirit man take over your entire triune being, but He wants to crucify your flesh and your soul on the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? You might have heard about breaking a horse. When you break a horse, we've all seen the movies, if you break the horse's spirit by smacking it and beating it and yelling at it, that horse becomes totally useless to become the thoroughbred is called to become as a racehorse or whatever else. We'll be very, very careful there and just kind of break its will, bring it into a place of humility and control of the master. Then that horse's spirit remains intact. And that spirited horse can now be under the control of the master and win many, many races to the glory of God. Amen. And we're like that also ourselves. God doesn't want to break your spirit. God wants to break your soul and your body, break it open, let it be removed off of you to give you a new life, that His spirit man come up within you and be released out of you by God's grace, by God's power, and by God's anointing. So the glory of God, the Bible says, is contained in earthen vessels. Praise God, He calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many folks also realize the Bible gives us types and shadows throughout the entire Old Testament, pictures of spiritual truths. One picture there is found in a man whose name was Gideon the judge. The Bible says Gideon faced a big army of Midianites, and God says, don't go against them with your own might, your own power, your own swords, your own weapons, your own warfare. He says, take all your weapons aside, get a clay vessel, and put a lighted torch inside the vessel, and at my command, break the pot, and let the torches come out, the light shine there, and say with your mouths, a sword for God and a sword for Midian. And Gideon here as a ruler of the Israelites in that point in time. What he was saying there to us was, in that earthen vessel that Gideon had, his army had, was a torch and a fire and a light that had to come and shine forth and bring forth the victory that day against the Midianites, God's enemy in the land. God is saying to you and I, we are earthen vessels. The fire of God is inside of us. He wants to break these vessels open to bring forth the fire and the light and the very visage of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. Amen. I appreciate that young man, young sucker boy that gave us that word, Elisha, gave us that word there about how God says don't just plan, but also get involved in doing. Doing always means also being married with a thing that's called obedience. How can you obey if you're not hearing what God is saying to you? How can you hear what God says if your vessel, your ears are not being anointed to be opened up to be hearing God's voice for yourself in this life? So if you want to write some things down this morning, please write down some what we again call take-home points here on what is God's purpose in breaking people upon the earth that are born-again believers in Jesus Christ. If the spirit man is not in control, then our soulish man is automatically in control. What that means is we're going to find ourselves operating by our five senses. Our touch, our smell, our sight, our feelings, our hearing will all control things we do in this life. We'll be a natural man doing things by our human reasonings, by our own circumstances, by our own feelings, not operating by the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. So God says He wants us to be natural men. He wants us to be supernatural men and women of God in Jesus' name. Do you believe that's possible? Praise God. God's going to give us the ability today, I believe, to see some breaking perhaps even take place and see ourselves going to new realms for Him in advancement and in increase in our lives. The first thing I want you to write down to number one is, what is God's purpose in breaking? Number one is to mature me. How many folks would agree that some folks in the body of Christ need to grow up a little bit more? Amen? We sometimes get mad too fast, get offended too quick, give up too fast, go by feelings too much, go by emotions too much. God wants your eyes upon Him, not upon your circumstances. The just, the Bible says, shall live by His faith, not by sight, not by their own emotions. So back to Moses now. To mature me is why God breaks me in life. Now again, I give this message to you guys because again, I went through this myself for the first time when I was only about 20 years of age. I received a thing that was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit back at age 20. And through that baptism, I began to, for the first time in my life, sense that I really had God living in me every second of my life. Also, through that baptism, God began to show me how self-centered my life really was. He said, Michael, your life is all about your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth as your will, hopefully, is done in heaven. God began to show me, I have things for you to be doing in life, but you must first of all be a broken vessel before me. I went through a season there for about a year where I would cry and weep, it seems like, very easily in my life. I was dating Cheryl back at Christ for Nations. I remember during worship time at CF&I, God was healing my heart of some wounds, some bruises, but also God was giving me a drawing towards Him of intimacy towards Him. I just cry and weep sometimes during praise and during worship. Even during CF&I's praise times, I just have God's presence just come on me so strong, I couldn't just help but just weep and cry sometimes in His presence. Sometimes Cheryl would say, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? Why are you crying like that? I just say, I can't help myself. I'm just kind of going through a season right now, okay? And so those seasons are kind of good to go through because God softens us. God makes us pliable. God makes us teachable. God removes some junk out of our lives, and God brings in some good things in us, and God begins to shine through us in great and mighty ways. In that time and season, God began opening up doors to me to expose the dangers and culture of secular rock and roll music. We began to see hundreds of young people receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior during that season of our lives. I'm telling you guys right now, fruit will always come out of broken vessels. When a seed goes in the ground, when it dies and it breaks open, it will always, always, always automatically produce fruit after its own kind with God's help and God's grace. Amen? So now back to Moses. The Bible says that Pharaoh tried to kill Moses and all the kids that were his age, the young boys, because Satan could see the call of God upon his life, and Satan wanted every young man destroyed to make sure he got the right one, because he saw there was a move happening in the heavenly realm. Satan sees that kind of motion many times. It threatens him, so it says, kill all the young boys. And so they tried to even kill Moses as well. But the Bible says his mother, wisely, I believe she heard God's voice, and she takes a basket and fills the inner side of it full of pitch to seal it from water, make it waterproof, puts the basket, of course, in the Nile River and lets him go down the Nile River. The good news about this is not just Moses delivered the Israelites from the power of Pharaoh. Moses' mother also delivered the people of Israel from the power of Pharaoh. If she had not been hearing God's voice, not been a broken vessel herself, she would not have saved Moses' life that way, that day. And because she obeyed what God said in a very, very unusual way, because she died to her own mother's instincts and let her son go, the Bible says God began to work in her behalf. And the Bible says Pharaoh's daughter saw the baby crying in the rushes. And of course, her servant goes out and brings that baby onto dry land and says, let's please keep this child for ourselves. And Pharaoh's daughter says, I have no milk. I cannot nurse this baby at all. And the servant of Pharaoh was actually a relative of Moses. And she goes, let me find a woman who can nurse this baby for you. And she knows that this is actually the son of Moses. She finds Moses' mother. Moses' mother comes and begins to raise that child and feed that child, and they start to pay her to raise her own baby. And the good news also was they put Moses in the best palace with the best food and the best caretakers and the best education free of charge all the time he grows up in the place called Egypt in his young years. That's just what God does for broken vessels. God brings handfuls of blessings on purpose of those who say, I will die to myself. I'll die to my own intellect, my own reasonings. I'll do what you say. God will turn things around for your good as only God can do. Amen? The Bible says Jonah was a guy also, an example of being broken and not being broken. He was not a very broken vessel himself at all. He shows us that those who take and disobey God's voice and go their own way, they will have to pay their own fare on boats like Jonah did, going the wrong direction, the wrong place, and the wrong time. But God still shows up, and God still turns things around for the Ninevites, and God brings forth that great big giant fish, and he makes those guys throw Jonah off into the ocean. The fish opens his mouth up and swallows Jonah for 3 days, and the good news is Jonah finds himself now in the right place at the right time, free of charge. God pays the bill. When you do things God's way, God pays the bill, and you show up at the right place at the right time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there might be some seaweed and some yucky, stinky things in that journey to that place because you just disobeyed God. That's called character development that only God can bring. Amen. Sometimes some stinky things we go through is not what God's plan was for you, but God will still cause plan A to come back into your life, and sometimes even a stinky way. Okay. So back to Moses. Moses, the Bible says, received the best education, best surroundings, best culture. Then Moses, he sees an Egyptian once he's about 18, 19, 20 years old. He's been told by God, you are my deliverer for the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. And so he sees that call of God upon his life for that. Now he sees the Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave. It makes Moses get angry, vengeful, wrathful. He attacks the Egyptian. He kills him. And the problem was he leaves one toe sticking out of the sand. And that one toe out of the sand is seen by the fellow Egyptians. They say, Moses has killed one of the fellow Egyptians. He must be put to death. And the Bible says for 40 years, Moses flees back in the backside of the desert, the middle of nowhere, back by Horeb, and he has a few little sheep to take care of, and one old gnarly wooden staff is all he's been stripped down to. So God takes him through a thing called brokenness in the way, in the place called the wilderness in his life. Moses had a problem with being impatient. He had a bad temper, and God had taken and put some character inside of Moses' life in the backside of the desert for 40 years of his life. Hey, folks, realize today. Hey, folks, realize God is not in a hurry to use your gifting for his kingdom. He wants you to represent the true Jesus Christ in your life. He'll put you on the backside of the desert for 40 years if he has to get some things out of your heart that show the wrong Christ, the wrong God, and the wrong Holy Spirit. Amen? And so the Bible says Moses had a problem with impatience and anger. Now, as time goes by, God did a tremendous 95% work, I believe, in Moses' heart. Three times, though, in that 40 years, Moses still had a problem with anger. He says one time he came off the Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments in his hands. He saw the guys having an orgiastic party. He got angry and throws the tablets down and smashes them on the rocks. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, do that, Moses. Moses did that on his own volition, okay? Then he sees the guys that made a golden calf. He says, okay, I'm going to grind this thing up into powder and make you guys eat the gold. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God told Moses to make them guys eat that gold. That was Moses' own volition. Then a few more years goes by on the very brink of crossing the Jordan River. God says, speak to the rock and make the waters come out. Moses is angry, takes his staff, strikes the rock in anger. Water gushes out, but God says, because you've dishonored me in the sight of the Israelites, you will not find your foot going to one place of Canaan's land because you've dishonored me and showed me as an angry, vile God, and I'm not like that, says the Lord. So anger was still there in Moses' heart in a very, very small measure, but it was still being dealt with for him as well. What God's telling you and I today is maturity comes through mainly broken vessels. God wants his body to be qualified to bear much fruit for his kingdom. That only takes place by broken, mature vessels with God's help. Know first of all, God is more interested in you as an individual than you can possibly imagine in your life. I am being told time and again by God's Spirit how valuable people in the body of Christ really are as far as God is concerned. Have you ever seen a video from a South African evangelist? His name is Angus. Angus is about 65 or so years old. In the middle of farm areas of South Africa, that man became a broken vessel a couple of years ago. Began to cry and weep for souls in South Africa in Jesus' name. God began to give him favor and honor. God began to exalt him. That man has now reached over several hundred thousand people for Jesus Christ in the past couple of years by being a broken vessel, hearing God's voice with a zeal and love for souls like I've seen nobody else have on the face of the entire earth. I also think about a man whose name is Eben Combrick, who I work with also in South Africa. This guy is now in his 70s. This guy is still connecting people for leadership conferences, for missions work, for planting churches. This guy is still full of God's zeal, full of God's fire. He's a broken vessel for Jesus Christ. I also think about a man who was my own father, whose name was, we called him Papa Johnson, Donald Johnson, my dad, who died over 10 years ago now. My father was a farmer, very simple man, very quiet man, very reserved kind of a man. But he finally received Jesus Christ in his life at about age 42 after my mother died of a tragic liver disease years and years ago. When that man got saved, all my dad had that he could use to do outreach with was his reel-to-reel Sony tape player. Those things kind of spun those little brown, wiry little tapes. Old-fashioned reel-to-reel tapes. He had one of those, and he had a Univox electric guitar that he loved very much. He said, when he received Christ as Savior, he said, I now love God so much, I refuse to see my unsaved brothers go to hell. He began to spend hours and hours putting together a little tape and songs and teachings and testimony about how he got saved, how much God loved them. And he mailed all of his brothers, all of his unsaved friends, a tape on his testimony of how to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That was way out of my dad's box, way out of his comfort zone. I'm saying to you guys right now, you don't need a pulpit ministry to be doing ministry for Jesus Christ. You've all got a gifting inside of your life that God wants to break loose and break out and use to touch people on the earth as only you can do. Amen? You know, I can't reach the same folks you can reach, but I'm telling you right now, broken vessels will always let the torch and fire of God come out and exude God's life in some way, somehow, to expand God's kingdom. Number two, brokenness also makes you become useful in life. Useful in life. Look at Moses. Look at Paul the apostle. Look at David, King David. You're going to see that God works through, like I said last week, God first selects people, and then God leads them to education, and then God leads them to a thing called isolation. That's where many believers go backwards in their call for God. If you go through the realm of isolation, where nobody applauds you, nobody sees you, nobody knows you, in that season, God then will finally bring elevation to you, and God will bring favor, and God will bring blessings, and God will bring increase, and God will bring influence to you. If you go through a thing called, again, from isolation to elevation, God will bless you and use you as only God can do. We must ask ourselves this morning, do we need gifted men and women who are outwardly empowered, or do we need broken men and women that are inwardly transformed? We need broken men and women that are inwardly transformed. Amen. You know, because James Christ can hear God's voice, people got healed this morning. Because I can hear what God's doing around us, God's moving by His Spirit. God needs us to be open, available, broken vessels that don't go by sight, by feelings, by emotions, by past experiences, by the status quo, and say, God, what are you saying today? What do you want to do today among us, oh God? I am simply an empty, open vessel. Let your light shine through me that men may be touched by your grace and by your Spirit and power as only you can do. Last of all, number three, broken vessels will cause us also to become transformed. Brokenness will cause us to become transformed. How do you know when you're crucified with Jesus Christ? You'll know because you don't live, but Christ now lives in you and Christ lives through you, and you're becoming more and more like Christ is every day of your life. What causes a locust, a cicada, to break out of his shell? What causes that? What's inside becomes so big, the outside can't help but break and bring forth the new vessel. What causes cocoons to crack open? What's inside becomes so big that what's outside must crack and break and release the life that is inside. What causes eggs to hatch? What's inside becomes so big, so developed, so strong that what's outside must crack and break open and bring forth the life that is inside. Revival breaks out for churches like this, nations like this, And cities like this, by broken vessels, is going to become so big on the inside. What's in them becomes so big and so strong and so great, it must break open what's on the outside. And the flesh must be crucified. And the soul must be crucified. And pride, arrogance, and all things of thoughts that are above God's thoughts and ways must all be crucified with Christ. And then he who lives in us must come out of us and touch Pflugerville and touch Austin and touch this world and nation for Jesus Christ. Amen? This article that was written over 20 years ago about dying to self says this: when you are forgotten or neglected or purposefully set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult of the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that's dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wisdom is crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that's dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, any annoyance, and you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus did, that is dying to self. When you're content with any food, any offering, any climate, oh me, any society, any clothing, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own good works or flinch after condemnation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and see his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spite of your own lack in life, and have no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater than his might be in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive reproof from one of less stature and can humbly submit yourself, as well as outwardly finding no rebellious rising up inside of your heart, that is dying to self. Are you dead yet? Is what it ends up and says. This sounds like a saint missionary, amen? If I could do all these things, I'd be called Saint Michael right now, amen? But I'm saying that Jesus Christ implores us and says, if your neighbor strikes you on the cheek, turn your other cheek to him. Let him strike that one also. What he's saying to us is, you can't do that in your flesh and your soul and your fallen nature. You can't be a natural man and do these things. You can't die to self on your own power. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the law of Jesus Christ, to love one another as he first loved us. Amen? But until we do this, the world who watches us around us is going to say, I don't need perhaps the Christ you serve. I don't see you different than me, myself, at all. I don't need that Christ in my life. When I see you become like Christ is, I'm going to envy what you've got. I'm going to smell his smell on you. I'm going to want what you have. I will choose to serve and follow him, I believe, is what will take place if we start serving Christ the way that Christ wants us to. As James comes back to the platform right now, I'm going to say many people have the idea that the ultimate goal of God is to get us all to heaven. That is not God's ultimate goal for your life. What is it? Romans chapter 8, verse 29 verifies and says what God's goal is. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. God's goal is not heaven for you only. God's goal is confirmation or being conformed and transformed into Christ's image, the hope of glory in your life on a daily basis. God wants us all to realize we are called ambassadors for Jesus. We're from a foreign country called the kingdom of heaven, and God says, be like ambassadors, show forth who I am, my culture, my nature, my kingdom, become like I am, is what God is saying to us. As I close this service here in the morning, I want to say to you today, I believe God's speaking to my heart, hopefully your hearts as well today, that God uses broken vessels. We're in a season and an era right now in the church, in America and around the world, where the church has seen the ebb and flow of the charismatic movement, For no great revivals sweep our nation right now today, though they do in some countries that are third world nations in other parts of the earth. We're not seeing the same healing, same miracles, same power, same soul winning. The reason for that is because people are too much into a thing I believe called commercial and consumer Christianity. We clock in, we clock out, and we say, what's in this service for me? This is Walmart Christianity. God says, I don't work like that. I don't function like that. That series you're going through right now with Daniel Hall's help called Not a Fan. We don't serve Christ because we're a fan of Christ. We're a follower of Jesus Christ. He'll say to do some unpopular things sometimes, perhaps, but he gives us grace to do those unpopular things. And from doing what God says to do, always, always great fruit comes out eventually. Amen? God may somehow, some way embarrass you in front of your friends or co-workers obeying him. He doesn't say to do that on purpose. Don't try to be an embarrassing person on purpose. But I'm saying be a person who's a broken vessel, who just can't help sometimes but share Christ with those around you who need what you've got. And it may seem inconvenient. It may seem inappropriate. It might seem embarrassing. But I'm saying if God is inside of you, every place your foot shall tread has been already given to you. If you obey and follow God's voice, God's leadings in your hearts. Well, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed.